We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. Following up after a 71-64 defeat to the Marquette Golden Eagles, the fourth-ranked Marquette Golden Eagles, I'm excited to hear your guys' initial reactions to this one. If we are going to overreact, underreact, or maybe properly react to this game, a game in which we did go wire to wire with the number four team in the country. I know there are no moral wins. I don't care any time in the year, non-conference, conference, but I kind of don't want to overreact to this one, but I know I have three other podcast guests here that are more than willing to react on different levels of the scale.
No, Maddie, I'm also with you on that. Like, I feel like the general sentiment via group text or line on Twitter is everyone's like, this team sucks. This player sucks, that player sucks, whatever. And it's like, maybe it's just because it's early in the season and we didn't really play well against Eastern or Oakland. But if it was the middle of the season and you played it, the number four team in the country, very close, everyone would have been like, eh. Well, like, people still would have been pissed because everyone loves to be upset about losses. And yes, we've almost gotten to expect us to be really good when we're 12-6 in our last 18 against top 10 teams. But, like, I don't know. I didn't walk away saying this team is broken or this team can't win in the tournament. It's like, okay, they lost to a good Marquette team. I don't know if you guys heard, but Tyler Kolek had an ankle injury. They didn't really mention that. But
look, I know we don't want to give the man his flowers, but the dude's ankle was literally purple. And he was playing out of his mind. That's a guy that if he's on your team, like, he is a legend now in your program. So I don't want to sit here and give him his flowers, but goddamn,
I just didn't know he was injured.
Team.
Like, they didn't mention it at all on the broadcast.
Maybe once or twice.
Manny, were you actually serious?
That serious? What? That I didn't think he played well?
No, that you're like giving him the flowers because he was injured?
No, giving the flowers.
Yeah, why not?
Because think about if this was an Illinois player and it's like, man, can he go? Not only does
are you comparing this to the Jordan Flew game?
He's the best player on the court.
He was phenomenal. He was a great basketball player. I want him to be an Illinois basketball player.
You don't win without, obviously, they're not winning that game without Kolek. Yeah. And my reaction is, oh, screw this guy. I don't want to give him credit.
Like, he was really good, but we don't need to bring up the injury every 5 seconds is my point.
Well, it's noteworthy. Like, when a guy goes out there and his ankle is literally purple and he's playing lights out like that, I absolutely think that it's noteworthy. I absolutely think it says a lot about a player that he's clearly not 100%, that he risks furthering an injury in week two of the year where he absolutely could sit out and no one is going to give him a hard time. I'm just thinking if this guy was on Illinois or a team that you liked and he was playing, we would be absolutely like bowing down right now.
Yeah, good for him. But
I can tell either. I can tell your take is resonating well with Josh and Johnny.
Maybe I'm just trying to be more level-headed.
We're very rational people who aren't upset at all that our team just lost. But I don't know, Josh and Sam, how are you guys feeling?
I feel fine. When I saw it was -1.5, I was like, or whatever the spread was, it's like, I was like, okay, we're home court. And I'm kind of assuming Vegas thinks like Kolek may not be 100%, but I don't know if I expected to win the game necessarily. They're a very good team. They're very versatile. It kind of sucks that Shaka Smart turns down Illinois, struggles at Texas, and just goes to Marquette, who's like a good program, but I think Illinois has all the resources they have and is just the number four team in the nation a few years in. That kind of stinks, but I didn't think we, like, I don't know. It was kind of, we are who we thought we were to me.
Yeah. I think we're very much the same exact team as last year where like where like we're a good team, and on like on our day we'll play with anyone in the country. And as we saw in the first two games of the season, like we sometimes do play down a little bit to our competition. I know we won both of those games by plus 10, Johnny. You're about to bring that up.
We didn't cover in either of those games. We played down to the competition, but like that's all like the Eastern game, you kind of, I don't know, it ended up being like exactly what you expected. Oakland was a little too close for a call, and you definitely did play down to that competition. But carry on.
Yeah, no, I'm not like fully upset. I think like we have the same half court offense. We're gonna like try to chuck threes, or Terrence is gonna try to drive, or we can't even feed the post well as last year. So there's like frustrating parts of the games where, and on top of the turnovers as well. But like, I still think we're probably one of the better Big Ten teams in the still one of the better Big Ten teams, and like probably not gonna be facing a better player in the Big Ten. Big Ten kind of stinks with like top-notch players.
Well, let's see. We haven't played it. The season hasn't even started yet. Let's see which random Wisconsin player ranked 239th in the nation ends up playing like an All-American, and then we can make
the only comment. The only team that's more frustrated right now than us, right after a loss, is Wisconsin. They have not looked good whatsoever.
And Michigan State. I mean, that's how it goes sometimes. But I mean, I agree with you, Josh. The half court offense didn't look good. Sometimes people are like, oh, bad shot selection. To me, it's just like, you can't get the ball into the paint and like drive the ball a lot. Like, oftentimes we're playing five out, but then with that spacing, you should be able to like attack the rim more. And we're all just kind of looking at each other.
Was there a single post entry the whole game? I'm sure they're in over a 40-minute game. They're probably, but I cannot think
there
of a
was,
single
but
post
they always
entry
ended
to Dane, or
they always ended with the same thing. Like the ball was like poked out at like from behind, where like Dane lost the ball, or Quincy did a couple times. Coleman did as well. I don't know if we want to start.
Yeah,
we'll get there.
I think it's relevant to the game. I think it's relevant to the game. I'll get out of it. Coleman did not play well today. I think he still often gets a lot of like criticism on Illini Twitter and a lot of people because his style of play is a bit frustrating. Five turnovers is not good. But then at the same time, like he leads our team in assists. Like we just really don't have that many playmakers, and we almost are upset with Coleman and project our like the lack of things that our team does that then he has to almost overcompensate and do. Like, yes, Coleman missed a wide open three at the end of the game he should have made. He turned the ball over five times, but he also had like three blocks, and Terrence also turned the ball over five times.
His
like he's not solely to blame and not the worst player on the team. And also, like, you see who our backup center is when Dane was in the game. They just attack him right away. He goaltends and then three-point play. Like, at some point, fans are going to have to realize, like, Coleman is probably our second or third best player. And it's unfortunate because he's a frustrating guy. But there's no doubt he didn't play well today.
I thought his defense was good. As I handicap this, I can't comment on the X's and O's. But I think the thing that frustrated me was the shot selection. I think there was one specific 2-minute stretch in the first half where it's just fadeaway two, contested three, brick. And it's like, all right, come on, man. Do what you want to do on offense where maybe you turn the ball over, you miss a shot that you're open, fine. But when you're fading away and you're taking contested brick threes, even the uneducated fan can say, that's just a stupid shot selection.
I don't know if this team is, and probably the reason we're ranked so much lower is I just don't know if we're like that great at creating our own shots. Like a lot of guys hit some nice threes, but I don't know. There's not like a lot of guys who I feel like you can give the ball to in crunch time besides Terrence and like ask him to go make a play. I kind of felt like Marquette was pretty good at that.
Exactly. And it's like some of the shot selection is bad and dumb. And then sometimes it's just like, you got 5 seconds on the clock. You got to throw something up here. And like, at least Coleman is willing to take that shot instead of just like, I mean, like, yeah, basically we need to do a better job at creating and I agree with you, Sam. But ultimately, like, this team offense needs to be more cohesive. I was hoping that there would be more spread elements to this offense, and I don't know, it just seems like in the half court we can't do anything.
What does Big Three have on Illinois basketball? Like, is there some sort of blackmail? And I'm not talking about like the tournament, like the Big Three or three on three, whatever it is. I'm talking like Big Three. Does it have on Illinois basketball where they are so obsessed with the three? And I know they're saying in the broadcast that it's partly Shaka's scheme where he gets them to take threes, but like Ty Rogers down the stretch there, where you have the open layup and you chuck it back out there on a pass for a three.
Yeah, that was tough. That was
That was
really
tough.
tough.
What
I think.
is the three? It's like we're being blackmailed by the three. What beef do they have on us?
I think like for that tie play, like that's was like pretty much the it described the whole entire game where they have like the most experienced best point guard in the league, and then we have someone who's its first year playing point guard in college basketball. So, I mean, he should have gone up and dunk. It would have saved us 40 seconds in time and brought it to a 4-point game. But we just he that just described the entire game. Like we don't have a great point guard, and that's going to hurt us the entire year.
It is.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's like just doing the mental math of we're down six and it's a minute left, like the possession. So a three makes it a one possession game, but it's like, damn, just lay the ball up. Like it's comparable to that one Ben Simmons play where he had the layup and was just afraid. And I think Ty is just like someone who is in the mindset of like, let's pass the ball and create for other guys, but he's got to know the time and place. And you hope that like they rewatch that one in film and he learns the lesson. Like, dude, if you're that close to the hoop, know where you are and just lay the ball up.
It is, Maddie, it is interesting though, to your point about Big Three, because I'm looking at the box score. We had 21 field goals, 11 of those were from three. Really just pretty much Marcus, Terrence, Luke. They had 27 field goals and only five of those are from three. I feel like that just very much kind of exemplifies like how many different shots they're able to create, and we were kind of just living on Big Three ball.
If it's going to be live by the three, die by the three again this year, I don't know if I'm going to make it the whole season. Again, I understand that it is an intentional schematic decision by the other teams to prohibit the ball coming in and give them the outside shot, understanding that we're only going to hit 17% of our threes. You'll let us take 30 threes, but it still feels like they opt for the three over the two, even if the two, you guys might find this hard to believe, a 2-point field goal typically goes in. I know this is crazy. More likely than a 3-pointer. The closer you get, actually, the more likely you are to get the ball in the. I know this is crazy. You don't even have to pay extra for this analysis right here. So is it a schematic thing? I suppose so. Is there some sort of love? I mean, we could at least Luke had a good game from the three, right? He had a. I liked when he. When Jason Benet goes a career game and it's like 13 points and it's like, yeah,
Yeah.
that's so far for Luke. I mean, I hope that his 13 point or however many he ended up with that ends up only being a career high for a couple days here. But that would be nice if, you know, if we're gonna shoot whatever percent from three again like last year, that there is maybe at least one outlier in Luke who can shoot like, I don't know, 41% from the field or from three or something like that. That would be nice. But I'd like to see us take a couple more 2-pointers.
I
Yeah,
think
I mean Lucas Domask played well today for sure.
I was
Good
gonna say, I think when
shooters.
Benetti said he's having a career game, he was like kind of subconsciously influenced by Marcus's play.
Maybe
Yeah, did
just a
he just
little.
combine their points into one?
As a duo.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice. We've been complaining for so long. Like, why doesn't Illinois have that one random white guy in the corner shooting threes and making them? So like we finally have that. And honestly, like, I thought our defense played fine today. Like, I don't know, you gave up 71 points, and some of that was like fouls late in game. Obviously, Kolek cooked us at certain points, but like, he's one of the best point guards in the country. I don't know. I definitely walked away with more questions on the offense than the defense, and my friend Ken can also support that. Like we're ranked 48th in offense and 16th in defense. But you wonder where the answers are. And it seems like two of the guys who are maybe quality offensive players just can't stay on the floor defensively against a team like Marquette in Dane and Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think Josh was about to say that. But yeah, another thing I was going to say is I feel like there's not a ton of like offensive immediate upside that we're going to get from the freshmen like Dre Gibbs and Imani, which is okay. Like that's kind of to be expected. But I think that also like sort of further limits.
You're telling me DGL's game against Eastern Illinois isn't going to extrapolate?
Seattle Miller, Western, or who was it? Like Western Carolina or North Carolina A&T. Like, don't be surprised if I put up 28 every game.
Oh my! You're telling me that a Q4 doesn't translate to? Wow, man. I mean, if Dane can be a thing, though, if Danger can be a thing,
yeah.
I we'll talk about Dane later in his lack of minutes, but when he inevitably goes off on a mid major and people are like, Dane should be playing way more. Dane should be playing way more. It's the Adam Miller effect, I think, Sam.
Yeah, exactly. And I do want to give credit to the father of one, Quincy Guerrier. Congrats on the child. Very interesting stat line of 0 points and 10 rebounds today. could definitely use a little more offense from him. But that's the thing. With it, Coleman being like more of an outside facing five, you really hope you get a little bit more offensively from the four. And I don't know. It's just, we need points in the paint and we got no points in the paint today. And that feels like the story. And you
Wait,
almost
is a
felt like
three pointer outside the paint. Are those outside? Those are outside the, okay.
Just unless it's from the circle.
What's funny, Maddie, is we shot 37% from two and 33% from three. So, like, effectively, your shots from three were worth more than your shots from two.
I understand. That's not going to necessarily change my mind on the amount of threes that we're taking. Again, if they're Luke Goody threes and they're open threes, fine. If they are fadeaway Coleman 12, 15, 17 on the shot clock threes, when you can at least run a half court set threes, then those are lower value threes. So the percentage tells you the percentage, but it doesn't tell you necessarily the quality of each three pointer that you've taken.
Yeah, agreed. I did get a funny text from my dad saying like, hey, Marquette looked really good in mean season form. I feel like Illinois really misses a defensive stopper like Damonte Williams, which to me is just like, it's very, I don't disagree with him. It's just like, if I were to have the antidote to this Illinois team, I don't think I would be like, we need Damonte right now. Like, I feel like we could just use someone who could score the basketball.
If you had an Illini basketball genie, I would wish for three Damontes is what I want.
Yeah, exactly.
can I wish for more? When if I wish for more wishes, I want three Damonte Williamses right now is what I want.
I mean, Damonte would have been great. Maybe he could have put Tyler Kolek in handcuffs literally as a cop and he wouldn't have been able to play. But, we really could use some more. We were just spoiled with having Io and Kofi. Like sometimes it comes down to that. Like
it's funny because it's years later, but it still feels so strong of like, man, only we still had Io and Kofi. It's like that was years ago now, but it still feels so true.
I think this was the longest episode it took us to say the word Io. I think we've said this after every lost podcast that we've had since we've started this podcast after Io and Kofi left. So yeah, we definitely do miss someone. My genie would be one Matisse just for the memes and then two Ios.
I mean, it's just, Kofi was just like running the ball, man. You know, it's like you had an offensive possession and it was just so easy. It's just like, get a seal, give him the ball. If they're going to double team him, maybe he'll pass it and then you can pass it out and get a plumber three or something. Like it was just, every possession just made sense, you know. It was, and every time we were just like, get the ball to Kofi. The man is 7 foot and he had some great post moves.
So easy, just
simpler times.
a grandy pass to a Kofi in the paint and just dunk over some 6'9" guy, and then have Io, you know, lay you up at the end, and then just good night, sweet prince, every time and time again. Yeah, we probably said that after every single loss, is that we could use Io and Kofi.
Which is probably a testament to how often we podcast after losses.
Hey, we're facing
100% on the season. 100%
right,
on the season.
We talked before the start of the recording, and we said, guys, we have to do this after every single loss this year, right?
We need to talk about our feelings.
We need to talk about our feelings after every single loss this year. But again, as we let the start, I don't think I have too strong of feelings, and I know that's not a sexy take, right? That there has to be some sort of polar, intense, you know, one end of the spectrum that it's either all or nothing, if either the sky's falling or not. It's like, again, there's no moral win, no moral victories in D1 hoops. But
yeah,
I left this game feeling like, fine, we can compete. Like, if you get into the tournament on a neutral site against Marquette, like, or a top five, top four seed, like, we got a shot. Yeah, all I'm asking for is a shot. And
no,
I know it's
for sure.
We're still on the tournament, you know, in the third week of the season, but that's all I'm looking for is a shot.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. It does put urgency on our neutral site game against FAU and our away game at Tennessee, because, like, we do need to have one of these three, and we lost our home one. So now we have to go as a neutral site or on the road and get a win off another top 15 team, or else it will be we won't have a resume.
By the way,
I do. Yeah, that's totally true. What's
I was
going
to say, this is like the most me thing to say, but FAU beat Eastern Michigan. I have no idea how good Eastern Michigan is, but they beat them 157. So, like, they're definitely, like...
You're telling me the top 10 team's good? That was my best Maddie impersonation. That's my best Maddie impersonation I've ever done.
No. We talked about this the other day when I go, FAU's ranked, you know, I was kind of surprised that... I don't know how much returning production FAU actually... I don't know enough about FAU. I assume they return most of their guys, but, like, again, not that it's a fluke that they got to the Final Four, but let's say they got... If FAU had gotten upset, you know, in one of those three earlier games in the tournament, which they didn't happen, they're not ranked top 10. So how much of that top 10 rating is factored into the fact that they got a little lucky in making it to the Final Four? Or are they really?
It's definitely factored, but I think
we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
I went on Twitter and at the start of this episode, and I asked to our followers to see if they have any questions for our podcast episode to give us some more things to talk about. So we have three responses so far. So great engagement.
And wait, the last point on FAU, Maddie does make a great point. Like, do you guys know who FAU, so they made the Final Four, you know who FAU played in the second round?
Tennessee,
they beat
Loyola.
Memphis by one.
I don't remember.
They played Fairleigh Dickinson in the second round.
That's right.
And, so, like, barely won that game. Like, but then they beat Tennessee the next game. Like, they beat Kansas State. Like, that's just – the tournament's a weird thing. We've done this bit before.
We'll do it again. We'll do it for the –
rationalize Illinois losses. But, I do think FAU is going to be good. And, Josh, I totally agree that I think we're going to need to have, like, a quality non-conference win. And if you don't, you really, like, limit your ceiling on how high of a seed you can be in the tournament. But
for sure. All right.
A weaker Big Ten.
Durst Nathan asks, who do you think looks better as a team via the eye test, Kansas or Marquette? I think just it's very obvious that it's Marquette. What are your
ideas? That's also hard because it was an exhibition game against Kansas and rotations weren't as tight, and I obviously I think the answer is Marquette, but I don't know if that's totally – that's a bit of an apples and oranges question.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I don't know. Think about how much longer the end of this game took to finish versus the Kansas game. Like, just the coaches aren't super into it. There's less nerves as a player when you know, like, missing the shot doesn't exactly matter as much. Like, it's just – completely apples and oranges.
It's completely irrelevant at this point. Oh, here's a good one. Old AF says, we need Goody to start. He's the only true shooter to space the floor. Good question, Old AF. I guess I'm kind of struggling to see where the question is. I don't think you're quite in start Luke territory yet. But
this
good
one
did, Did that person also confuse Luke Goody and Marcus Tomasz?
No, this guy got, I think he got, maybe that's why he's a bit confused here.
Like, he is starting and he did score 18 points today. Like, is he not a pure enough shooter or no?
Good question, old AI.
This one was addressed directly to Sam. It's from eBurger_DO. Brad Underwood is the 8th highest paid coach in the college basketball. Do you think his record, coaching, and recruit skills reflect that?
That was really coherent. I don't know who this guy correctly is on Twitter, too. But that was unbelievably coherent.
That was definitely not a leading question. I think Eberg would say that he shouldn't be paid as much because he let Random Podziemski go.
Yeah, I think that's a fair response.
This is our friend Elliot, who's very, very upset about that.
And he's claiming Brandon is one of our own, of course.
He's one of our own, but Brad should be fired for letting him go still.
Right. And he is a noted Coleman hater. I knew that he was going to start texting me about Coleman tonight, so I just didn't respond. So he just, I'll just pull this up. I know Sam also got a lot of texts about Coleman. You know, 719, Coleman is ass. 719, JK. 722, never mind, he sucks. 735, oh my Coleman. 735, I just got the notification, Coleman sucks. 737, I think he meant to say, oh my God, but he spelled God, K-A-E-D, I guess. So I guess that's what that means. And then 738, he just goes, mm-hmm. So.
Oh my, Caden Fegan is a god, I guess.
He is a god. Yeah, wait, are we in basketball season's over? We suck. Let's talk
back to football.
Back to football. We're winning the West, which I spent 4.5 hours this past Saturday afternoon with Johnny as he and Bricker went through every possible mathematical scenario known to human on how we can win the West still. And I'm pretty sure after 365 minutes of it, that they figured it out. And it's actually a really simple formula. But boy, did it take a couple beers in a few minutes.
Yeah, there were definitely a few beers and a few delirious feelings after that overtime win as we were just sitting at Legends after the game, just doing the crunching the numbers, doing the calculations, running the algorithms, and figuring out basically we just need Wisconsin to win, Illinois needs to win, and then we need Nebraska to beat Iowa, and then we need Minnesota to beat Wisconsin. Okay,
that's easy.
Five
things. It's basically done.
Just
it's
do your job.
Basically over. Yeah. Did you get your Indy hotel room?
Yeah, I did. It's non-refundable, so
true.
That's a little tough.
Is there some sort of scenario in which Michigan doubly now gets in trouble for their cheating, so they're eliminated, they can't play for the Big Ten, and then something happens to Ohio State where there's some weird asterisk, and then we play Penn State,
rematch,
and you can't
game.
Lose to a team twice in one season. We win the Big Ten, they have to put us in the college playoff, and then...
I think they do.
Them's the rules.
Hey, kid can dream, right? So we're back on football. Okay, so anyways.
No, just one more football question. Luke or John? I want it on record for everyone.
Luke, next question. Thank you. He should be starting. Luke should be starting.
I was so convinced.
Is that what old AF was talking about when he said Luke should be starting?
All right, wait, let's make sure we reply that.
Understood.
Oh,
yes.
No, he said goody, dang it.
Look, it's no disrespect to John Paddock. And I think that people asking that question, John Paddock deserves to have that question asked, right? After you throw for 500 yards, that would be disrespectful to not at least throw it out there. But Luke's your starter, man. Luke's your starter. And I don't know if he had started against Indiana, he probably also would have tore it up against that secondary. Would he have thrown for 500 yards? Maybe not. Maybe he only throws for 378. But he probably would have tore it up against that secondary, and no one would be having this conversation right now. With that being said, John Paddock is a hero. He's a legend, and he never should have to pay for a beer in Champaign for the rest of his life. And I love John Paddock, but with all due respect, there is no way in which Luke Altmyer is not the starting quarterback if he's not healthy on Saturday. Thank you.
It was 87% to 13%.
Okay.
Opposite way.
In favor of Paddock.
Oh
my goodness. I do not have my thumb on the pulse these days. That's incredible. That's remarkable. 87% said Paddock.
I'm pretty sure.
That's remarkable.
85.8 to 14.2.
Wow. 86 to 14. That is remarkable to me. People really fall victim to the
recency bias.
It's hard to blame people when it's like, yes, he did have the second most yards in college football this season in a game. But at the same time, it's like, you watch the replay and our receivers are just so open on every single play. Like Indiana's secondary just could not keep up with Isaiah and Pat. And like, I don't know, rewatching it too, you just see there are certain throws where they're so open. Paddock makes a bad throw.
He underthrows them. He underthrows Isaiah,
and they still go for like 60 yards because Isaiah and Pat were just dominant. But I mean, his decision making was incredible. Like if he had Luke Altmaier's arm, he would be awesome. But unfortunately,
and legs.
But unfortunately,
if he had his arm and legs, that's a quarter. Limitations. That's called a quarterback right there. That's a body. Yeah. That's called a body.
I think the most. Like the most clear explanation that makes sense to me here is you don't care about what's happened in the last two games and you have to figure out a way to beat Iowa. If you give Iowa just the most vanilla offense, like you're gonna, which I'm saying is what John Paddock is in this scenario, it won't be successful. We need to have some type of variability. And that's with Luke being able to run the ball for probably our only success. And that's my view on it.
The fun part is the vote is irrelevant. Is that Luke is the starter, and that none of it matters.
We do pay the coaches' salaries.
We?
Yeah, like we watch TV.
Yeah.
Oh. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. No, but I mean, there's a chance that Paddock starts just because. Let's say if Luke isn't 100%, like the coaches may feel very, like they probably feel confident in John Paddock as they should, given how well he played in the last two games. So there's definitely a chance like Luke could not be 100% and they're like, all right, let's ride the hot hand. It's just like those windows are going to be so small against Iowa. So we'll see what happens.
It sounded like he was pretty healthy, Luke, going into Saturday, that he might, I mean, he was pretty darn close to being healthy. But this is not the Indiana defense that they're going. This is a top defense. And he's just, I know it's not great. Obviously, he's not going to pass for 500 yards, but like, and again, I know I will come under fire for saying this, but if I had to make a prediction, and I'm not rooting for this, okay? Everyone that's listening, I'm not rooting for this. I would predict that John Paddock probably struggles a little bit, right? He played against, if you remember early on there, he played against Penn State, right? He came in late. And I know the Penn State defense isn't the Iowa defense. He struggled a little bit coming in at the end of that game. So again, this is not me saying that if John Paddock plays on Saturday that I'm rooting against him. This is, don't be surprised if he comes in and he maybe struggles a little bit on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think we are also just like, let's say Bears fans or just football fans in general who know that typically your starter is the most talented quarterback on your team and the coaches are able to figure out who the best quarterback is on your team.
There's a reason why
Luke Altmaier was a starting quarterback at the start of the season and why he had remained, like they had a full camp to see what John Paddock looked like. They had a full camp to see what Luke looked like. But at the end of the day, like, and we've seen so many times where it's like you have the flash in the pan backup quarterback and then defenses figure them out a little bit. Just like you saw what happened to Tyson Bagent, and maybe we are over projecting because we've just seen it go negatively for the backup quarterback so many times, but
I still think Caleb Haney's got a shot.
Yeah, exactly. But hopefully he's ever at quarterback on Saturday, just brings home a win because we would be very happy to beat Iowa. Still on track for over 6.5 wins, still on track for the Big Ten West.
Definitely no monetary that Johnny would ever drive eastbound for. See, I feel a lot better. I kind of forgot about the whole we lost to Marquette thing.
Yeah.
Talking about like, and it's not supposed to be that way, guys. We're supposed to talk about Illinois basketball as a way to distract us from Illinois football, not vice versa. Anything else about tonight's performance again, I think the takeaway here is that it we the takeaway is kind of no takeaway, that it was a little bit frustrating to watch, that you would imagine a team with it just played with a little bit more experience and cohesiveness. But other than that, I don't really have a ton to complain at.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm curious to see how we evolve from this.
Yeah, get the ball in the paint. I think we would all love to shoot more quality twos. Let's shoot quality twos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Brad's listening right now because he's the eighth highest paid coach in Division One, as we've learned today, and is really looking for insights wherever he can. And this dumbass podcast has some answers for him.
Oh boy, I'm telling you, if he ends up ever listening to this, Brad, you are in a bad, you are in a low, low space, my friend. If you end up somehow, someone sends this to you, what if we could do, they could use it as like bulletin board material. Like someone gets wind that like the boardroom was talking shit about Illinois basketball that they didn't think you could do it. You know what? Hey, Brad, I don't think you can beat Valpo on Friday and then turn around 48 hours later and beat Southern on Sunday.
I just connected that.
Tell your players. I don't think you could do that.
I just connected while we're playing Valpo.
Oh yeah,
Roger Powell.
Roger Powell.
I don't think you can beat an Illini alum. I don't think you can do it.
You're still going,
Brad. Come on, listen, Brad.
I feel like there's other podcasts where their commentary gets used on like hype videos put out by like the Illinois football and basketball team. Doesn't sound like what you're doing right now, Maddie, is to get us like in consideration there.
I mean, we got a long season to go. I can get us some good sound bites, like, but I'm not gonna say fake stuff, right? Come on, Brad. I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can do it, Brad.
This is one of our best segments.
This is I don't think you can do it, Brad. All right. Well, that concludes another spectacular episode of the Boardroom, everyone. Thank you for listening. We hope we could ease your pain a little bit here after a tough non-conference loss. We'll check in with you sometime next week after a couple of non-con Valpo and Southern and Western games. But thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next episode. ILL.